Iran, this is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, Arab members of the International Atomic Energy Agency have lashed out at the UN body for publishing what they call a weak and disappointing report on Israel's nuclear capabilities. This comes as the agency discusses a resolution that calls on Israel to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
For the second year in a row, Arab members of the International Atomic Energy Agency have called on other member states to support a resolution calling on Israel to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and open the doors of its nuclear facilities to UN inspectors. A similar resolution won the backing of the other member states last year. But the United States and EU members voted against it. And again this year, the call has received a cold shoulder from the United States and the European Union. The US says raising the issue will have a negative impact on the ongoing peace process in the Middle East. Arab nations, along with the 118 member state non-aligned movement, who both see Israel's nuclear arsenal as a threat to the region, had urged IAEA's head to come up with a report on how to implement the resolution. Now they have issued a statement saying the report is weak and disappointing. They add, the report neither contained an assessment of the Israeli nuclear capabilities, nor did the agency try to obtain any information about these capabilities, especially concerning its military dimensions. Israel is believed to be the only nuclear state in the Middle East with hundreds of nuclear warheads at its disposal. The US says it's committed to a nuclear-free zone in the Middle East, but refuses to allow the IAEA to investigate Israeli nuclear capabilities. This could be the reason why Arab nations accuse the United States of practicing a double standard in criticizing Iran's nuclear program while ignoring Israel's possession of nuclear weapons. The Arab League even once threatened to withdraw from the NPT if Israel does not open its facilities to international inspection and destroy its arsenal. Many say US support for Israel in resisting demands to join the NPT will weaken the nuclear regime and encourage further breaches.
Well, Arab foreign ministers have met at the Arab League headquarters in Cairo. They discussed a range of issues with a focus on the direct talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. Press TV's May Kamil has more from the Egyptian capital.
Arab League ministers convened in the headquarters of the League in Cairo for a one-day meeting to discuss 30 resolutions passed on by the permanent representatives who had met on Wednesday. The resolutions touched upon an extensive range of issues that aim to increase coordination of Arab states on key issues such as the latest developments in the direct talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, as well as the Arab League's support for Sudan and water security in the Arab world, which were among the issues that topped the agenda of the ministerial session.
There is pessimism generally among the people and leaders of the Arab world regarding these negotiations. The Palestinian Authority entered talks so that Israel cannot say that you refuse negotiations, and thus we are continuing with the settlement building.
The direct negotiations between the Palestinian Authority and Israel was naturally the most discussed topic. The ministers backed up the direct negotiations, but with reservations, as Arab League Secretary General Amr Moussa said that the peace talks were taking place in a suspicious and worrying environment. The Secretary General of the Arab League questioned the credibility of the talks, highlighting Arab refusal of the Israeli policies and demanding that Israel halts all settlement activities.
This meeting gives a permit to the Palestinian Authority to continue with direct negotiations only under the condition that Israel retreats from all occupied Arab lands, including the Golan.
Among the regional issues discussed were the matter of Iran's right to use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes, a right that was backed up by the Iraqi foreign minister, as well as Amr Moussa, Secretary General of the Arab League.
We believe that it's Iran's right as a neighboring Muslim country to utilize on the latest science and technology. However, it must be in the framework of a peaceful use of nuclear energy. We renew our call to making the Middle East region nuclear-free under the supervision of the IAEA, and Israel needs to commit to that.
The Iraqi foreign minister, whose country took over the rotating presidency of the council on Thursday, urged Palestinian factions to reach national reconciliation as the direct talks were being held. Arab foreign ministers discussed today a wide range of resolutions to do with almost every major issue in the Arab world, with a focus on Palestinian issues, in an atmosphere that was described as both constructive and leading the way to increased Arab coordination. This is Mae Kamel reporting for Press TV, Cairo.
Three more NATO soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan. The Western Military Alliance says two of them lost their lives in separate attacks in the south of the country. And it says the third soldier was slain by an improvised explosive device. NATO has not revealed the nationalities of the troopers or the exact locations of the incidents. 507 foreign soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan so far this year. Well, the number of people living in poverty in the United States has jumped to the highest level since the 1960s.
A report by the U.S. Census Bureau says one in seven Americans live in poverty. The report adds that the economic downturn threw nearly 4 million people out of work last year. The overall poverty rate has climbed to more than 14%. That's 43.6 million Americans. The report covers 2009, President Barack Obama's first year in office. The report says the number of Americans without health insurance passed the 50 million mark for the first time last year. It also underscores that poverty hits African Americans and Hispanics as whites and Asians.
Well, despite growing pressure over the expulsion of Roma minorities, French President Nicolas Sarkozy says his government will continue to dismantle what he calls all illegal camps.
Evacuations concerned by the memo in question refer to illegal camps in France, in our territory. We will continue to dismantle, regardless of the origin or culture of who is there.
Well, Sarkozy has come under immense pressure from other EU members and human rights groups to stop the crackdown on occupied France. She said the European Commission will begin proceedings against France over its handling of Roma minorities. Sarkozy says he is profoundly hurt by the comparison. Sarkozy made the comments during an EU summit of leaders and foreign ministers in Brussels. Over 1,000 Roma gypsies have been expelled from France since July.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Arab countries slam an IAEA report on Israel's nuclear capabilities, calling it, quote, weak and disappointing. Three U.S.-led soldiers are killed in Afghanistan, taking this year's foreign death toll in the country to 507. One in seven Americans were living in poverty in 2009, the highest number since the 1960s. And France pledges to continue its expulsions of Roma gypsies despite growing international criticism.
Well, the UN calls for more aid for flood-hit Pakistan. We'll bring you the details shortly. Stay tuned to Press TV. Patients in Gaza continue to die as Israel and Egypt keep maintaining a tight siege on the impoverished coastal strip. So far, 376 Gaza patients have died, and hundreds of others are likely to face a similar fate. Press TV's Ashraf Shannon reports.
Another Gazan fell victim to the Israeli siege, bringing the number of Gaza patients who have died so far due to lack of medicine, medical equipment, and the travel ban imposed on the strip by Israel and Egypt to 376. Chronically ill patients, especially children and the elderly, are the worst hit.
At the intensive care unit, we suffer a lot due to the siege. We cannot cater to the needs of chronically ill patients due to lack of equipment, and our patients also suffer due to shortages in medicine.
There are 20 hospitals and 45 clinics in the Gaza Strip. Health officials say Gaza hospitals lack 123 types of medicines, including medicines that are needed in intensive care units, maternity wards, pediatric and ophthalmic surgeries, due to the siege.
There is no treatment for me here in this hospital, and I must keep traveling to get medical treatment.
I tried to get my brother out of Gaza for his brain surgery, but the Israelis said that he can be operated on in Gaza. I don't want to take a chance with my brother's life.
Human rights organizations accuse Israel of violating international humanitarian laws, especially the Fourth Geneva Convention, which outlaws torture, collective punishment, and the resettlement by an occupying power of its own civilians on territory under its military control. The so-called easing of the blockade by Israel did not benefit the healthcare sector.
Due to the Israeli siege, which is in violation of international laws and norms, Palestinian patients continue to die, especially in the Gaza Strip.
Israel maintains that it had issued hundreds of permits for Gazan patients to receive treatment abroad. It is widely believed that Gaza patients will continue to suffer as long as the international community keeps turning a blind eye to Israel's siege.
As the number of patients who are in critical conditions because of lack of medical equipment is on the rise, health professionals in Gaza call on international community to step into the fray by putting pressure on Israel to put an end on its long-time siege of Gaza. Ashraf Shannon, Press TV, Gaza.
Well, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees says Pakistan is not receiving enough help to cope with the unprecedented impact of floods.
Pakistan needs help. The Pakistani people needs help, and they deserve help. And I appeal to the international community to understand that everything we have been doing until now is out of proportion with the needs of the people. The dramatic impact of these floods is enormous, unprecedented, and the international community needs to do much more to support the Pakistani people.
The UN envoy made the appeal while visiting flood-ravaged areas in Pakistan. Torrential monsoon rains triggered the worst floods in Pakistan's history nearly 2 months ago. The disaster has so far affected up to 21 million people. It has left more than 1,600 people dead and some 10 million others homeless.